We talk more word here than not, and most churches get in a month. Just while we're just getting warmed up. Okay. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then come Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he to them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, as I will, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he come unto the disciples, and finds them asleep, and says unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And again he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that does betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with him, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew a sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. And then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In the same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves, for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him into way to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses, and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing which it is with these witnesses against thee? And Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure you by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless I say unto you, Hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now you have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, He is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote you? Peter sat without in the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what you say. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. And then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. A whole bunch there. Let's see where we can go with it. Peter just got through bragging, right? Verse 35. I'll never deny you. I'll even die. And don't get self-righteous, because that's you. Every one of us has been in this position. Every one of us will get to experience this. We'll all have the opportunity to betray him. I ministered back a few months ago and I said, every Christ has to have a Judas. Someone to betray. If you're not betrayed, how will you know what he felt? And we have to feel all the things that he suffered. Okay? So we're going to be betrayed. So that Judas is, each one of us is going to get this. But Peter had the opportunity here. And Jesus came with them into a place called what? Gethsemane. And said to the disciples, Sit ye here while I go yonder and pray. Now, does anybody know what Gethsemane means? Okay, now, what happens in the oil press? Things get squeezed, and that's you. Now tell me what comes out of there. Oil. Tell me what stays in there. The flesh. The flesh of the grape, the flesh of the olive. So this oil press is symbolic of the death. And what he did, he came to this place called Gethsemane for a purpose. Everybody thinks he just came here to pray. But he came to this place, which literally represents the place of what? Death. That's right. Gethsemane represents the place of death. He came to a place when he realized it's not my will. It's my Father's will. Death to my understanding and thinking. See, not my literal flesh body that I'm walking around in, but it is this thinking process that humanistic people have. And that's everybody. We all have to go through this. This human thinking that we have. It all has to come to a place where it's no longer I that lives, but it's the Christ that's living within me. If the church world would understand this, we wouldn't have a problem. We wouldn't. The world would be changed quickly. But see, the I is still living in the church. And I don't find the word I in the spelling of church, but it's there. You's in there. Yeah, all of us is in there. But everybody is still wanting to save themselves. Okay. We have to come to a place, just like Jesus did here. We went to Gethsemane, this place of death, this place of being put in a press and squeezed out. Okay? We've got to come to a place like that where we realize that it's not about me. Steve, we talked tonight. I said, it's not my choice. I don't have any choice about anything. I don't have any options. Right? We really don't have an option. As long as I tell myself that I have an option, then there's two people in control. There's two people wrestling for the throttle. Okay? Guess what? It can't be. I can't be godly. I can't have the mind of Christ in my own thinking. I mean, that's contradictory. That's an oxymoron instantly. As soon as I say I'm thinking and God's still thinking, we got a problem. We got two people trying to run the show. Too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Right? Any time that it's about me or my or mine, I missed it. I've missed it. Everything that's going down in the life that I live is about Father. What does Father want this to be? What does He want me to betray? See, it's not about what I would like to do. What does He want? And that's all He's crying out here. Now, if you don't think that Jesus had flesh or fleshly thinking, why do you think He said, Lord, if possible, take this cup from me? But nevertheless, it's not what I want. Because He knew it could be taken away. But He's showing you He was real, just like you. How many times do you holler out, Lord, take this from me. I can't take it anymore. Has any of you ever cried that? Every one of you have. Every one of you have. I have. But anymore, it doesn't make any difference. To whatever He wants, He's going to get anyway. The book says His purposes and plans will prevail. Who can disannul His purposes? Well then, what am I struggling for? Anytime the eye is struggling, guess what? It's a waste of energy. Absolute waste of energy. It cannot prevail against God, can it? If I could prevail against God to change anything that He wants, then I'm stronger than God, then I should be on the throne. And I'm not God. That self tries to put itself on the throne. It'll never happen. It's futile, but they still think they can. That's the idolatry in our minds. Okay? We ain't got past Gethsemane yet, have we? Okay. Maybe I won't finish this chapter tonight.
You know, the root word for tribulation is pressure.
Pressure, yeah, philipsis.
The tribulation we all, some people complain about, is necessary.
Sure, it changes us. It's the press. It's the press that brings the oil out. And they keep that in that trap in the press, throw away all the flesh. Okay? So, he came to this place. Then came Jesus with them. Who was he talking about?
Disciples.
So now it's not talking about the whole world following him to this place called Gethsemane, does it? Only disciples is going to walk in there. This book, I'm telling you, is not designed for the whole world yet. It's only designed for first fruit, disciples of the Lord. They're the ones that's going to know this stuff. When he talked to them, he talked plainly. When he talked to the multitudes, he talked in parables. So he said he went to this place called Gethsemane and said unto the disciples, sit ye here until I go and pray yonder. He knew he had things to say that they didn't need to know about. See? There'll be a time when God will place things in your life just like all these prophets in this book. What did John say in Revelation? He saw something. He said, don't write that. Don't write that down. Mm-mm. There's things that God will speak to you. It's for you. Not necessarily about some person, but things that God doesn't have a time to reveal yet. It's not time to reveal. He went to pray, and he didn't need anybody to go with him to pray, did he? He didn't go put on no show for nobody. He didn't see if he could spit 3 or 4 seats away from him so everybody would have to wear raincoats, you know, when you go into church and pray. We've all been in those kind of prayer sessions. Do you think that changes anything? Do you think screaming loud makes God listen to you? Isaiah 31 verse 4 says, let me turn there, I can't quote it all the time. Too many things in my mind, I can't quote it all the time, so I'll just go to it. I know the address. Isaiah 31 verse 4. For thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey. Roar! You know, big roaring. When a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. Noise doesn't make anything. I went to a church one time where they said, if you don't scream loud, the devil won't be afraid of you. And these people screamed and rattled the walls. I just sat and smiled at him. Well, the devil was squalling. The devil was doing the hollering. See? They're in confusion. They don't understand. If they knew the scripture, then they couldn't say these things and make these doctrines. They couldn't do it. So after he goes out and he's praying, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. You know who those are, right? James and John. Absolutely. Now, he took James and John with him. They're the sons of Zebedee. What does the word Zebedee mean? No. My gift. My gift. They've called them the sons of thunder, but they are a gift. See, James and John were gifts unto the body. Mm-hmm.
He kept Sir Peter to keep them out of trouble.
Right. And began to be sorrowful and very heavy. You know what that word really means? He was depressed. You'll say, oh, Jesus, he never felt nothing like that. No, this is a word, and there's 3 Greek words for depression, and this is the strongest word in the Greek language for depression. Huh? He was grieved. He was in depression. He was grieved. See, but he was in a form of depression. Now, do you think that was his spirit?
It
was his flesh that was in depression. Now, you tell me how you'd feel. You just came and you know that you're the Son of God. Christ is dwelling within you. And this physical body I'm walking in, all I've done is come and be good to people. And they're going to kill me in just a few minutes. They're going to beat me to within an inch of my life. And the Bible says he was beaten so badly they couldn't even recognize him as a human being. They beat him. His guts was hanging out. I mean, he looked like he'd been drugged behind a truck down the highway. They beat the flesh off of him. And he said, "Why are they doing this to me? Father, I've not done anything wrong. I've only done what you said." He said, "I know. I know. And you know that's you too? It's going to be the same way with you. And your flesh is going to say, 'But Father, I've done what you told me.'" He said, "I know. But Father, why are they doing this to me?" "It's all right, son. It's all right. I'm with you. Don't worry about it. It's okay." See, we've got to know this is the way it's got to be. Father chose it. It's not us to argue. All we do is know this. We know that his ways are marvelous. It's his doing, not ours. It's not up to us, because we'd find a way out of it, wouldn't we? But he was in a little depression there. I'd say probably pretty heavy depression there. But see, here's the thing. Feeling depression, feeling grief is okay. Now, most people won't tell you that. You know why it's okay? Because he gave you those senses. He gave them to you, and he had to sense those things, because that's what we sense, we feel. But here's the thing. You don't stay there. You don't let those feelings of emotions out of your soulish realm, you don't let them take you off of your course. You go ahead and you, "Yeah, I can't help." If you have a death in the family, you can't tell me you don't feel nothing. You're lying through your teeth. You're not even human. You have no human feelings, faculties, if you can't feel grief when you lose a somewhat family member. See? No. No. But here's the thing. You don't let the emotions steer you. You control the emotions. You know, Jesus wept. He wept bitterly. But he never let those emotions take him off his course. So it's okay to have emotions, but don't let them control you. There's the difference. Don't let them control you. And most of the time, Sue will try to get the driver's seat, won't she? The soulish realm. Okay? Then said he to them, "My soul is what?" Now the word "exceeding soulful," you know what it literally says in the language? Completely grieved. Man, I'm grieved to the max. I can't get any more grieved than this. Father, I've done everything you've said to me, and these people are still going to kill me. What would you feel like? What would you feel like if you've poured out everything within you to help people and never do anything to hurt anybody ever intentionally, you know, and then they turn around and falsely accuse you and hang you on a tree, beat you, do all these vile things to you? What are you going to do? No, it's not powerless, because he had the power right there, he said. See, he had power, but he wasn't going to misuse it. See, because if he had called support, guess what he would have done? He would have stepped out of the spirit into the flesh to defend himself. They sure did. And we have to lose that too. See, we all have to lose it. Justifying is just a lie. Defending something in yourself means that you've got something to hide. I got nothing to hide. I don't care what people do to me. They're going to continue to do it anyway. No matter what you do, you're going to be talked evil of. What did Jesus teach in the Beatitudes? They'll say all manner of evil about you and lie about you. What did he say then? You're blessed. Great is your reward in heaven. How many of you, when they say these things about you, say, "Thank you, Father. Thank you for the blessing"? It kind of takes teeth out of them when you say that to them. And I've said it to people. "Thank you. I appreciate you blessing me." And they look at me like I'm crazy. Well, they always thought I was crazy anyway. See, it takes the teeth out of it. They don't know what to say. Let them walk away dumbfounded. He said he was completely grieved to the point of death. See, it says he was exceeding sorrowful even unto death. He was so grieved, he was at a point he just wished he could die. You ever been there? See? If we can't say yes, we're lying to ourselves. See? We're lying to ourselves. We've all been there. And he's just trying to show you something. I have sensed what you've sensed in today. See? He was a God that couldn't be touched. He touched our emotions. He touched everything about our human life. Right? So he's not someone sitting up on a throne and says, hey, that's all right, I created you, I know all about that. He came down and walked through it and experienced it. So who are we to say we don't have to go through? If it's his purpose, go through it. But if you'll listen to the one that went first, guess what? I bet you don't have to go through near as much. But you've got to follow somebody that's walked through it. Not somebody who says they're Christ. Okay? Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further or a short distance and fell on his face and prayed, saying, the word O isn't there, it's just saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I desire, but as you. The word wilt shouldn't even be there. You see it's parentheses, in italics. But as you want. Whatever you want, Father, that's what I'm going to agree with. See? There's nothing you can pray, and I'll tell you this right now about prayer, nothing you can pray will ever come to pass until it's an exact duplicate of what God wants. You got to pray His will. I can pray for everything in the world. It'll never come to pass unless it's what He says. And you have people in the denominational realms, they'll pray and they'll ask for 500 things. Say, I got to hit something once in a while. You know, law of averages, I'm going to hit something that God's doing in His earth. And then they'll have one prayer out of 1,000 come to pass and say, oh, God answered my prayer. Hey, just hit one. If you pray for everything, you got to hit something, don't you? I want you to notice something about prayer. Jesus did not pray every day 3 times a day. That was somebody under the law called Daniel. If you'll go and count, you'll find Jesus didn't pray very many times. And a lot of times he did pray. He said, Father, this is not even for me. This is for these ones here that don't understand anything. These are for these ones here that's still wrapped up in the flesh or in bondage. And I'm going to pray so they can see that I'm your son and I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm doing it for them. I don't need this. I'm not telling you not to pray. But I'm telling you, when you come to this mind of Christ, this Feast of Tabernacles, this third day, this Mount Zion, all the ways you can say it, you'll find out that most of the things we prayed for wasn't godly to start with. It was Sue praying. It wasn't Christ. It was my soul speaking. And you've got to admit this, when you were in them realms, the church told you what to do. Did God tell you to pray them things? I went through it. I sat there with that clock in front of me with a prayer list and prayed for an hour. Most of you have tried it too. Don't look innocent on me. Because we've all tried it. And did it bring anything to pass? The only thing it brought to pass was an hour I tried to pray and a lot of confusion, a lot of frustration. Didn't change anything. Didn't get any answers to anything. Yeah. Well, usually he didn't answer anything, so you just interpreted as no. See, but that's not what it's about. The only time Jesus prayed, and this is what he said, the only thing I say is what I hear Father say. See, there's a difference. Not what I desire, but what God wants to speak about. God don't need me to speak. He can speak for himself. But if he desires you to speak, what should you do? Speak. And when he is not speaking, what should you do?
Shut up.
Be quiet. Be quiet. Tell Sue to shut up. See? Tell Sue to shut up. See? Be what you're supposed to be, a son of God. Sons of God don't do all those things. That's still the children playing. You've got to come out of this stuff. I couldn't tell you how many people's come to me and said, once I've come to this understanding this third day, my prayer life changed. I said, well, bless God, you heard something. Because you see, they say, I can't pray no more. I said, well, bless God, he won't let you. Sons of God don't have to do that stuff. It's not a ritual you go through. You do what God tells you to do. And you know what? Everybody will tell you you're crazy. But who's really crazy? When they tell me I'm crazy, I say, you're right. I'm crazy about him. Go ahead and tell me that all you want. It's okay. You accused him of the same thing, didn't they? Verse 40, and he came unto the disciples and found them asleep. Well, if you go to the church, that's what he'd find today too. Most of them's asleep. Wouldn't he? Most of them's asleep. Now, I'm not talking about physically laying asleep, but they're asleep spiritually. And they do not know what's going on, and all they're doing is following rituals and traditions that someone has told them they have to do. That's all it is. Nothing godly about it. They're just playing. But it's all they know. And they got security in those rituals. And they think they can take that little wafer with no leaven in it and a little grape juice, and oh God, they feel spiritual after they do that thing. Makes them feel so good. It's got to be good because it makes them feel good. That's Sue again. Isn't it? That's Sue again. Doing her thing, convincing you that you've got to do this before God will accept you. Oh, help us, Lord, from that. He found them asleep and said unto Peter, what, could you not watch or keep awake with me? Right? 1 hour? The word's Mia. It's not heis. The word one. It's Mia, which means first, not one. So can't you stay with me even the first hour? See, everybody takes this, well, you're supposed to pray an hour? He said the first hour. What does that mean? There's some more hours coming. More than 1 hour. See, he prayed a lot in this session. He said, keep awake and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And right there is the biggest justification in the Bible for screwing up and being lazy. My flesh is weak. Oh, shut up. We all got that. Come on. We all got that. And if we use that as a justification to not do what God's told us to do, all we're doing is being lazy. Hear me? We're being lazy. God said, he said, yeah, your flesh is weak, but that's not a justification to lay down, is it? He just told them to watch and pray. Now, praying isn't screaming to God, oh, God. That's not praying. Prayer is communication with your Father. And it means sometimes you have to shut up and listen. And 99% of the time, if we'd shut up and listen, we'd get more out of this communication than if we keep talking. Listen. Listen what God's saying. God has a lot to say. But as long as we're praying, you know what we do? Jabber, 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 jabber. And as long as my lips are bumping, my ears are sealed. And that's the truth. Anybody. As long as you're talking, you're not listening. As soon as you close your lips, your ears will open up and you'll hear God. Everybody thinks you have to just jabber away for an hour and then I'm done. How about the other side of communication? How about listening to the Father talk to you? How many of us can sit down and just listen to God for an hour? How many can do that? Shut it out. Nothing else. Just sit down. Don't say a word. Don't say hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Don't say nothing. And you know what you'll hear? You'll hear God. What's more important, trying to impress him with some religious words or hearing God? Hear him. That's what he's trying to tell you. Listen to me. He's not trying to beat you up. He's not trying to ramrod your life. Here's the secret to not struggling with God. Once you have the mind of Christ, there is no more struggle. See, because the only struggle there is when I have my own thinking wrestling with God. And once I have the mind of Christ, I can think no other way than the way He thinks. How could there be a struggle? Hello? Could there be a struggle? If you have the mind of Christ, could you struggle with God? The mind of Christ is no more than the heart of the Father. There's no contradiction. We are what? One. There's no contradiction. All we have to do is understand what Father's purpose is here. If we do that, we have the mind of Christ. We will no longer have to struggle anymore. We can just love God. That's all there is to it. Just love God. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cup may not pass away from me unless I drink it, your desire or purpose be done." Do you think he didn't say this thing three times because God didn't hear him the first time? Then what's he doing? He's convinced himself. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. And this was the Spirit of God speaking through him. He's showing you something. Y'all are going to struggle. Nobody's going to lay this life down willingly. Are you? No. You're going to struggle. But see, if we come to this understanding that when he died, what happened? Did he say in Romans, when he died, I died and I was buried with him in baptism. When he was raised in newness of life, so was we. If we understand this, it's not about my old man dying. He died, past tense, 2,000 years ago. He's dead. The old man died. Christ said this. Excuse me. Let me get my thinking together here. This is in Scripture. It says, Jesus was what? The last Adam. Well, hello. If he was the last one, then there is no more. So guess what? I got no Adam to die. You ain't got no Adam to die. All you've got to do is realize it's already been taken care of. What was the last words Jesus spoke on the cross? What did he finish? Adam. Adam's done. Stick a fork in him. Pitch him out. He's done. We don't have to fight this thing anymore. The battle is not mine. It's not yours. And we keep trying to take this battle and win it ourselves. You can't do it. It's an impossibility. If you could, then he didn't have to go to the cross. But he did because we needed it. Guess what? It's over. The battle is won. Verse 43. He came and found them asleep again because their eyes were what? Because their eyes were closed. Language says the eyes was closed. That's pretty good way of indication that somebody's sleeping. Their eyes were closed. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. What did he say in verse 42? If this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy purpose or desire be done. That's the words he said. Then came he to his disciples and said to them, sleep on now and take your rest. Literally it says that this in the language, you're still sleeping and taking your rest. Making a statement there and asking a question. Are you still sleeping? Don't you realize what's going on? They had no idea that he was about to leave. And he told them many times, I'm going into Jerusalem to be betrayed. Where were they going? Jerusalem. He knew it. But they weren't hearing. He says, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinful people. Not sinners. He didn't call them sinners. He called them sinful people. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that does betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with him, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests. Now, that's not what the language says. It's not the chief priest. It's the high priest. They came from the high priest and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast. And at once he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, Friend. Notice he didn't call his betrayer an enemy. You know why? Because God doesn't have an enemy. Nowhere in this book does God have an enemy. He said the carnal mind is an enmity towards God, but it didn't say he was God's enemy. God doesn't have an enemy. And Jesus said, "Friend, wherefore art you come? Where'd you come from?" And then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Didn't he just get through having a meal with Judas and saying, "What you got to do, go ahead and do it quickly"? He knew what he was going to do. And Judas knew what he was going to do and did it anyway to fulfill Scripture. And behold, one of them which was which were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword out of his hand, his hand, and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest. And see that word S there on the end of priest should be that set the high priest. That is not like a multiple. That's the high priest. It's the same word that was up there a while ago for the priest, the chief priest. Same word, high priest. He was a servant of the high priest. And did what? He cut off his ear. You know what religion will do to you? And see, this was a man who was with Jesus, but didn't have a clue what he was doing. And what was the first thing he did? He reached right back into the natural, a physical realm to try to defend himself. Even though he walked with Jesus, he did not know what he was doing. He didn't know what he was about. See? That's where we're at in religion. They're talking about something, but they don't know it. Above God. It takes the hearing away from you, I guarantee you. It takes the hearing of God away from you when it's that natural word in your head. That's right. And Jesus said to him, "Put up again your sword," or "put away your sword into its place," into his place, or its place, what the language is say, its place to the his. "Because all they that take the sword or choose the sword shall perish with the sword." What says take should be choose. All those that choose the sword will perish by the sword. So it's not saying anybody that wants to fight a war, that's what it's about. He's saying anybody that chooses to go to your natural strength, to yourself, to settle everything. See, that is natural. What kind of people are we? Another word, supernatural. And it's supernatural that you can do something other than what the natural flesh wants you to do. There's the power of God the church don't see. It's not by suppression. It's not me suppressing and saying, "I got to be good. I got to be good. Oh, I got to do it." So the preacher won't know that I've got bad things in my heart. Hogwash. You're going to do what's in your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You're going to do what's in your heart. So why be a hypocrite about it? Do it if that's what's in your heart. God knows about it, and you're not going to surprise God, shock God about anything you do. He's seen it all. Everything. So nothing surprises him. Everybody wants to think, just like we mentioned earlier about this man speaking about the homosexuals. What makes a homosexual any worse than a Baptist, huh? Doesn't make any difference. What makes him any different than the one that, the preacher that goes to church and he's running around with somebody else's wife? What makes him any better than the homosexual? But they'll say, "Oh, yeah, that's all right. Well, we'll forgive the brother." But you can't forgive him? Somebody's got something wrong. I can't believe that God would ask us to do something he wouldn't do. Do you? God says we have to forgive all our brothers. Every trespass. And then he's not going to forgive somebody? Somebody's got the wrong picture. I'm sorry. Yes?
But if God got him where a homosexual where he's at, if we're predestined, then he's predestined that.
Mm-hmm. But why do I not forgive him, though?
I mean, why do people talk about people? Is that
because they think they're better because they went to a board in front of a church and they slobbered and snotted all over it, and now they're better than you. Okay? They went up there and said, "I'm sorry," and that made them better. That's what they think. Now, they've been taught this. It's not truth. Because no man can come to the Father except the Spirit draw him. Now, if a preacher draws you up here, it don't do you a bit of good. You just got the board wet and slobbery and It didn't change a thing in your heart.
That's not what I mean.
But see, they don't, I know what you're saying. Yeah, if God's used them in that, it's okay. That's why we're not mad about it. See?
Like Steve's friend.
Right.
That's where God's got it.
Sure. And that's what we're saying, the same thing. I understand what you're saying. I understand that. They don't understand it. See, most of the church folk that say they understand God, they don't know what they believe, why they believe it. Some preacher told it to them. Some television evangelist or some preacher someplace told them something. And they don't know why. And if you put it on a table and flip it over one time, you'll find the falsehood of it. But they're afraid to even talk about it. They say, I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. Bless God. And y'all going to hell. I can't see God in that. See? But that's where they're at. No. Well, really, since he took away the sin of the world, what are we looking to sin for anyway? See? Jesus was the Lamb that came to take away the... Okay, he did it. He's not a failure. But see, humanity is always going back looking at that and telling you about what you did. God's not doing it. See? He already paid the price for it. Now, I'm not saying we won't do anything wrong. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying sin has been eradicated. Whether they believe it or not, he said, as it's been done in heaven, pray that it'll be done in your earth. He's already cleaned it up here. We just don't believe it. We still focus on sin. We're sin conscious instead of being Christ conscious. If you take someone and these two kids side by side, one kid is in trouble all the time and this kid's in trouble all the time, and you tell the one on the left, you're a good kid, you just had some problems, we're going to be with you here, we're going to take care of you, don't worry, we'll get you through this. They'll say, you no good brat, you shouldn't even been born. That one will be just what you told him, and so will that one. And when the church starts saying, hey, you're a son of God, even in rebellion, you're still a son of God and we love you, and we're going to walk you through this thing, we're going to help you through, come on, you know what, they'll start seeing people come back. People sick and tired of religion, I'm telling you. The world is sick of it. They're looking for somebody to give them the truth. And you can't just talk words to them. You better be able to walk what you're talking. They're requiring it now. Okay? Where are we at? 44. No, down in the 50s. 53? Yeah. Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to the Father, and he shall presently or at once give me more than 12 legions of angels? Literally, the word presently is aid me. You think he shall not aid me and give me more than 12 legions of angels? Why would he say 12? Huh? Well, you're on the right track. Huh? Well, it's the government of God. It's the government of God. 12 always represents the government. So it's the government of God. See, to think I can't. And what is the government of God? See, it's not 12 people, but it's the culmination of those 12. It comes into the Christ. Christ is the government of God. See, he said, I could draw upon what's in me. The government of God that's already in him, he could have asked for anything he wanted and could have got it. True or false? But he knew it wasn't Father's will. He knew not to draw on his suicide. Okay?
Like Gideon, when he told him to raise his head out of the
bottom. And see what was really there?
So great a cloud of witness.
Mm-hmm. But how then shall the scripture be fulfilled? Because in this way it is necessary to be. Mm-hmm. It's necessary to fulfill the scripture. These things got to go. So you got to let them go down any way it is. I can't call and uproot what Father has planned. See, if I have the mind of Christ, and this just shows you that there was a flesh side of him pulling at him. He said, couldn't I ask for 12 legions of angels and get them? They said, yeah, the scripture's got to be fulfilled, and I know it. So I'm not going to do anything contrary to what my Father has said to do. We got to have the same heart. It's not what I feel, it's not what I like, it's what Father said to do. Now, what a preacher tells you, what did Father say? Hear me? This is not about preachers. It's not about apostles or prophets or evangelists or pastors or teachers. This is about God speaking. You can't look at preachers and say, preacher's the man or the woman. Doesn't make any difference there. But if we look at them and see them in that vessel that they're in and don't listen to the Christ that's within that person, you'll never know where you're going. You personally have to hear this. You can't just hear what Dave says or any other preacher says. You've got to hear it in yourself. Got to be God speaking to you. He will speak to you. And I know a lot of churches teach that God don't speak, but then they got to rip out some pages when he says you'll hear his voice.